Hey, how the early risers doing? You guys all right this morning? God bless you for getting up early to worship with us. If you happen to be a guest here, let me introduce myself. I'm Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm going to be giving the message out of the Bible in a moment. So if you have a Bible or you have an app, open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 a lot in this series. We're going to look this morning at verses 4 to 7. I'm very excited about this. We're starting a brand new series about spiritual gifts today. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 7. Before we dive into that, though, we're going to receive our offering. So if the ushers would come forward. And I just want to take a moment and thank those of you that give financially to God through the Vineyard and remind you that when we do that, man, it really does make a difference in lots and lots of people's lives. You know, I have no problem saying unapologetically, I believe the best investment of any gift that you could give to God would be through our church. Because God is changing lives through our church. He really is. And many of you are very faithful and very generous. Thank you. May the Lord bless you whenever you give. You know, I know many of you don't give when the bags are passed around. You're like my wife and I. We give automated where it's automatically taken out. Maybe you do that or you give, online or whatever. But whenever you give, may God really bless you for it because it is changing the world one life at a time. So we're going to pray, ask God's blessing on that. And let's also open our hearts and our minds to God and ask God to speak to us out of the scriptures this morning as well. Okay, would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the opportunity to partner with you financially in what you're doing in the world. And God, whenever we give back to you, we pray that you would take the money that we give and you would use it to change lives. Bless our gifts, God. Bless us also in our faithfulness and giving back to you. And now, Lord, as we look into the scriptures, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me to every person here, every person listening online, God, that you would have your way in every heart and every mind, and that you would teach us very clearly about this sometimes confusing topic of spiritual gifts. Holy Spirit, fill and empower me with the spiritual gift of teaching that I would teach what you want me to teach. So, Lord, come and have your way right now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let me ask you, how many of you are parents? Any parents out there? All right, many parents. Some of you know, my wife and I, we're parents. We have a freshman in high school and a sophomore in high school. Pray for us on a regular basis, all right? But as a parent, have you ever, come home from work or maybe come home from grocery shopping? You were out somewhere and you walk into your house and your house is just a complete disaster. Has that ever happened to you? You know, maybe you've been away and all of a sudden you realize that while you were gone, your children decided that they were going to make pancakes. And they've never made pancakes before. And so there's pancake batter splattered everywhere. It's all over the walls. It's all over the floor. They use like 15 different pans, you know, to make these pancakes. You look up, there's a couple of pancakes hanging from the ceiling. You know what I'm talking about. Or maybe, you know, you realize that when you look at your dog, that your dog looks a little different. And you notice that your kids have actually given your dog a haircut. And then you also realize that they've discovered the joy of food coloring. And everything around is blue, including your dog. Your dog is now blue. You ever walked into your house and there's just complete chaos, total confusion? Somebody's saying, well, Brian, that's a regular occurrence at my house, you know. If that's the case for you, that's a different sermon for a different day, all right? But I bring this up because when I read some of the books that are written about spiritual gifts, it feels a lot like the confusion of walking into my house on a really bad day. You know, it's like walking into my house with stuff hanging from the ceiling. There's so much confusion in the body of Christ, in the church, around America and around the world about this subject of spiritual gifts. But you know what? When you actually read the Bible and what the Bible actually says about spiritual gifts, it's not that complicated. It's not that difficult to figure out. And so we're beginning a brand new four-week series that I'm calling The Truth About Spiritual Gifts. And this morning, I want to answer three big questions that lots and lots of people have about spiritual gifts. Maybe these are questions that you have. And the first question I want to answer is, why is there so much confusion about spiritual gifts? Let me give you two reasons. One reason is because Satan is sowing confusion about spiritual gifts. See, spiritual gifts are sort of like power tools energized by the Holy Spirit to build the kingdom of God. And therefore, is it any surprise that Satan would want to cause confusion about this subject? I mean, think about it. When one of the spiritual gifts is called discerning of spirits, which is the ability to discover the presence of demonic spirits, is it any surprise that Satan would want to cause confusion about that? You know, I believe a lot of the confusion about spiritual gifts is because there's demonic activity being sown into people's hearts and minds by the devil and by his minions. Let me remind you, Satan wants a weak church. Satan wants an ineffective church. Satan wants a church that's spiritually dead. Satan wants a church that can't break people free from addictions. He wants a church that can't heal the sick, a church that can't cast out demons, a church that doesn't minister to the poor, a church that is not racially diverse, a church that is not effective in reaching lost people, a church that is not able to disciple people. Satan wants an ineffective, weak church. And so what does he do? He sows confusion about spiritual gifts because it's only by the power of spiritual gifts that we're able to do those kinds of things that I just talked about. So that's one reason why there's so much confusion about spiritual gifts. The devil's sowing confusion. The second reason there's confusion about gifts is because people are trying to analyze spiritual gifts without ever experiencing them. See, the truth is, there is so much about the Christian life that you will never understand until you experience it. You know, the Christian life is not something that you can stand on the outside of and try to look in and think, well, you know what? I understand Christianity perfectly. That's where some of you find yourself right now. You find yourself sort of on the outside. You haven't really surrendered your life to Jesus. You're on the outside. You're kind of checking it out. And you think you can really understand it. But I want you to know you can't. You can't. There's so much about Christianity you'll never understand until you're all the way in. You know, one of the ways that we can sort of picture Christianity is being like a giant cathedral with stained glass windows. But when you're on the outside of the cathedral, the stained glass windows look gray. You can't make a picture out of them. But when you step inside the cathedral, then you can see a wonderful picture from the Bible that these stained glass windows make. You know, maybe it's a face of Jesus or a story from the Bible. And that's the way that Christianity is. You will never understand Christianity from the outside looking in. And understanding spiritual gifts is exactly the same way. When you stand outside of spiritual gifts and you try to analyze them, they're going to be confusing to you. And I believe one of the main problems with many of the books about spiritual gifts these days and many of the teaching series about spiritual gifts these days is that they're being written and they're being taught by people who have never actually experienced those gifts. Or they're being taught by people who have never seen the gifts operating in a healthy, balanced church like the Vineyard. Now, I know some of you are new to the Vineyard, and so I want to tell you right up front about spiritual gifts. You need to know that in the Vineyard, we believe in all of the spiritual gifts that are in the Bible. We believe that all of them are available today and they're in operation today. We do not believe that some of them ceased at a certain time in history. We don't believe that at all. And we also believe that every follower of Jesus is to operate in spiritual gifts. In other words, spiritual gifts are not just for a few superstars. We believe that God has given every single follower certain spiritual gifts, and he wants us to use those gifts. Now you say, well, Brian, why does God want all of us to begin to operate in spiritual gifts? I mean, what's the purpose of spiritual gifts anyway? Man, I am so glad you asked that question. There are two main purposes of spiritual gifts. One is to glorify the triune God. To glorify the triune God. I had you turn to 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. Paul says, now there are varieties of gifts. He's talking about spiritual gifts. But the same Spirit, varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. I'd like you to underline the word Spirit, Lord, and God. Verses 4, 5, and 6, Spirit, Lord, and God. Verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, these verses show us that the Trinity is involved in spiritual gifts. The Trinity, meaning God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, in verse 4, we see Paul referring to the Spirit, which means the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. In verse 5, Paul's talking about the Lord, and what he means by that is the Lord Jesus, God the Son. And in verse 6, Paul refers to God, meaning God the Father. And so spiritual gifts are given, first of all, to glorify God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God. Now, when you're studying spiritual gifts in the Bible, there are four main passages in the Bible that talk about spiritual gifts. The chapter we're in right now, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. So 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 1 Peter 4, and Ephesians 4. And in 1 Peter 4:11, Peter is talking about spiritual gifts, and he says this. Whoever speaks, talking about the spiritual gift of teaching, what I'm exercising right now, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves, he's referring to the spiritual gift of service, is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. Now, I want you to underline this next part. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Why are spiritual gifts given? To give glory to God. In fact, let me just give you one example. One time in the Bible, these four friends bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus because they would love for Jesus to heal him. And Jesus ends up laying his hands on him and supernaturally healing him. Some of you remember that story. The spiritual gift of healing was in operation when Jesus did that. And what was the result of that dramatic healing? Look at Luke 5. Immediately this guy got up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. Underlying, went home glorifying God, and they were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God. Underline that as well. See, that's the kind of thing that happens when spiritual gifts are in operation. People are drawn upward toward God, and they end up giving glory and praise to God. Now, one of the things we need to remind ourselves about, or maybe you'd never known this, concerning the purpose of spiritual gifts, is that they really are gifts. They're gifts. Turn to the person next to you and say, spiritual gifts are gifts. Spiritual gifts are gifts. Look back at 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are varieties of gifts, underline that, but the same Spirit. See, a lot of the confusion about spiritual gifts is because people forget that they're actually gifts. And you know what that means? It means spiritual gifts are not given to us based on merit. They're not rewards for a job well done. Spiritual gifts are not the result of you having grown to a certain maturity level in your life, and so now God will give you certain gifts. No, they're gifts. They're unmerited. They're unearned. You know, those of you that raised your hands earlier about being a parent, you know, you don't give your kids Christmas gifts because they had a good year. Do you? If you do, that's another sermon for another day, all right? No, we give our kids Christmas gifts because we love our kids, and they're just gifts. They didn't deserve the gifts. They didn't earn the gifts. They're not rewards because they had a good year. They're gifts, and that's what the Bible teaches about God. God gives good gifts to his children. But a lot of Christians get confused about spiritual gifts because they see sort of immature Christians, maybe. Christians who are still worldly in a lot of their attitudes, or Christians who are involved still in certain sins, or they have moral problems. They see these kinds of Christians exercising certain spiritual gifts. And so some people think, well, certainly that gift couldn't be from God, because I know the kind of life this person is living. And God certainly wouldn't give the gift of healing or the gift of tongues or the gift of prophecy or discerning of spirits or interpretation of tongues or whatever, words of knowledge. God would not do that and give those kinds of gifts to people that are really immature in their faith, would he? Now, don't get me wrong. I am not trying to promote spiritual immaturity. I'm not trying to promote that at all. My goal as your pastor is to help disciple every single one of you. My goal is to help every one of you grow up into spiritual maturity. But you need to know there is no relationship whatsoever between a spiritual gift that is given to someone by God and the level of that person's spiritual maturity. No relationship whatsoever. Again, spiritual gifts are not rewards. They're not merit badges. You know, Christianity is not like being in the Boy Scouts, where if you learn how to tie 15 different kinds of knots and you find 13 different kinds of acorns, then you get a merit badge. No, Christianity is not like that. That's not the way God treats us. He said, well, Brian, what is the condition then to receive spiritual gifts? The only condition for receiving spiritual gifts is that a person has to want spiritual gifts and a person asks for spiritual gifts. Let me ask you, do you ever ask God to give you certain spiritual gifts? You should. You should. It's really important to ask God for the spiritual gifts that you would like to operate in. That's the only condition. You have to want them, and you have to ask for them. Now, does that mean whatever you ask for, you're going to get? No, God is sovereign. And he sovereignly distributes his spiritual gifts to the people that he wants. But I've found just by experience and in my own life, the more I ask for certain spiritual gifts, the more I receive those spiritual gifts. So that's the first purpose of spiritual gifts, to glorify the triune God. The second purpose of spiritual gifts is to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church. Look back at verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, talking about spiritual gifts. Why? For the common good. Each one is supposed to be ministering in the particular gifts that God has given us for the common good, to build up the body of Christ. Now, what happens oftentimes in churches is that certain spiritual gifts get suppressed. They get shut down. And when that happens, a lot of people in that church feel like they don't really fit. They don't really belong. Because they feel like there's not a place for them in the church if certain spiritual gifts are shut down. But when spiritual gifts are released in a church, people begin to think, well, I'm needed here. I have a place here. I fit here. I can be used by God in this church. Now, one of the things I need to explain to you about all the passages in the Bible that talk about spiritual gifts and the operation of spiritual gifts is that the church meetings that the Apostle Paul is describing when spiritual gifts are in operation, those church meetings were not like church meetings today. Because, see, they didn't even have church buildings until about 250 AD. And so where the early church meetings took place were in homes. They were in people's homes. There would be about 20 or 30 Christians that would meet together in somebody's home. Somebody had a larger home, and that was the church service. So those meetings were about the size of our small groups, or maybe a little bit bigger than most of our small groups. And in that kind of smaller context, Paul says everybody has something that they can contribute. Every person in this gathering can bring a tongue, can bring an interpretation, can bring a prophecy, can bring teaching, can minister, can pray, whatever. He's saying everybody has an opportunity to be used by God in the church meeting. And the way that those spiritual gifts were exercised, like I said, we're in those small group meetings. And that's what we do here at the Vineyard. We encourage every small group to let all the spiritual gifts be expressed. Because spiritual gifts make a place for every one of us. They make us feel like we belong, like we fit. Now, I said a few minutes ago that one of the purposes of spiritual gifts is to build up the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church. Let me explain that to you this way. You know, spiritual gifts are kind of like bodybuilding equipment. That's what they're like. They're kind of like bodybuilding equipment. You know, I've been working out at a gym most of my life, as you can tell by this massive body. All of you knew that. But I grew up as an athlete and, you know, high school and college. And so, you know, I've been in the routine of going to the gym most of my life. And when you go to the gym, one of the things you see oftentimes is that certain people only work out on one or two different kinds of equipment. They find their favorite one or two kinds of equipment, and that's all they work out on. And so, you know, a lot of guys, they want to build up their chest, and so all they do is the bench press. And so their chest gets really big, like mine, of course, but the rest of their body doesn't grow, doesn't get bigger. And then other people, all they do at the gym is cardio stuff. And so they work on the treadmill and the elliptical or things like that. And so all they're working out as far as their body goes is certain parts of their legs and their heart. But the other parts of their body aren't being developed. And this selective use of bodybuilding equipment is a good picture of what happens in lots of churches where many of the spiritual gifts are suppressed and only a few of the gifts are allowed to be in operation. You say, what do I mean? Well, for example, in a lot of churches, the only gifts that are allowed to be in operation are like the mouth and the feet. You know, the gift of teaching is allowed and the gift of evangelism, the feet are allowed. But you know what that means? That means the church has no hands. The church has no ability to heal. The church has no ears. The church has no ability to really hear God through prophecy or words of wisdom or words of knowledge or tongues or interpretation of tongues. They don't have any ears. See, when a church picks and chooses which gifts are important to them and which gifts aren't, they're doing exactly what some people do in the gym. They end up working out only certain parts of their body, and you know what happens? Their body becomes sort of deformed. And that's the way a lot of churches are. They're a little bit deformed because they're not working out all the parts of the body. Lots of churches have the attitude, you know, we only allow in this church the gift of teaching and the gift of evangelism and the gift of service and the gift of helps. But we don't believe in the gift of tongues, and we don't believe in the gift of prophecy. We don't believe in the gift of healing. We don't believe in the gift of word of knowledge or word of wisdom. No, we don't allow those in this church. And when that happens, that body, that church, becomes deformed. It's not built up. It's not as strong as God wants it to be. Now, I know that some of you grew up in a certain kind of church, or you were taught from someone that certain spiritual gifts stopped at a certain time in history. Usually what are called sign gifts, like gifts like healing, gifts like tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, those kinds of things. Those kinds of things stopped at a certain time, either when the Bible was canonized. That word canonization, it just means when the Bible that we now have was put together in the form that we have it now and was agreed upon by the different councils that were going on. That is when the gift stopped. By the way, that's called the dispensational viewpoint of Scripture. That when the Bible was canonized, then those sign gifts stopped. But I want you to know, there's nothing in the Bible that suggests that spiritual gifts stopped when the Bible was canonized. Or that spiritual gifts stopped at the end of the first century. That's what some of you might have been taught. Or that spiritual gifts stopped when the last apostle died. Some of you might have been taught that. Now, some people have tried to suggest that in 1 Corinthians 13... that these kinds of sign gifts, prophecy, tongues, those kinds of things, they passed away after the Bible was complete. They read this out of 1 Corinthians 13. Maybe you were taught this. Paul, that whole chapter you might remember of 13, is all about love. And then he gets down to verse 8, says, love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. Well, it's very clear, Brian, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. Very clear. If there's knowledge, like gifts of knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, underline that, the partial will be done away. And so these people interpret the perfect coming as the canonization of Scripture. So let me be very clear about this. When this talks about the perfect coming, this in no way is talking about the Bible. The perfect coming is talking about the second coming of Jesus. See, he is the one who's perfect. He's the only one who's perfect. And so when the perfect comes, which no man knows the day or the hour, when the perfect comes again, when Jesus comes again, we're not going to need any spiritual gifts. We're not going to need the gift of healing. We're not going to be praying for healing for one another. Why not? Because we're going to be healed in every way when Jesus comes back. You're not going to have to, praise the Lord. You're not going to have somebody give you a word of prophecy about certain thing in your life, because God is going to be speaking to you face to face when the perfect comes. You're not going to need to have any kind of revelation from any other person, because God's going to give it all to you. If you want to know a little more, I could talk a lot about this. If you want to know a little more about this subject, Wayne Grudem has an excellent chapter in his book called Systematic Theology, if you're interested in that. Great chapter on that. And there's another great book that talks a lot about this. It's called Surprised by the Power of the Spirit. It's an older book by Jack Deere, but well worth the read. Really, really good. All right, we've talked about some of the reasons why there's so much confusion. about spiritual gifts. We've talked about the purposes of spiritual gifts, at least a couple of them. You know, we've talked about the fact that they're to glorify God and they're to build up the body of Christ. But there's also a personal dimension to our own confusion about spiritual gifts that we can't overlook. Remember I talked about standing on the outside of the cathedral looking in? And from the outside, the stained glass windows, they look gray. They don't make a picture. I think there are some reasons that some of us continue to stand outside the cathedral when it comes to spiritual gifts. Rather than jumping in, some of you are still standing on the outside. Why is that? Let me give you three reasons. We oftentimes don't seek spiritual gifts from God. One major reason is because we've had some kind of disappointment with God. You know, maybe you have a loved one in your life that got a terminal disease, got cancer, whatever, and you prayed, and you laid hands on him or her. You had other people lay hands on him or her. You were believing God. You were having faith for the gift of healing. You were believing for them to be healed. And it didn't happen. They died. And because of that, you feel super disappointed with God. And so you've just shrunk back. Well, healing doesn't work. Kind of walked away from that. Or maybe for you, you ask God to give you the gift of tongues. Maybe you even had somebody pray for you to receive the gift of tongues. But for whatever reason, it seems like you didn't receive it. And so you're disappointed with God. Or maybe you've been asking God to prophesy. Or maybe you tried to prophesy in your small group and it just seemed like it didn't go well. Or maybe you've been asking God for a certain job and it just never happened. Or you've been asking God for a marriage partner and it's never come through. Or maybe you and your spouse have been asking God for you to get pregnant and it just doesn't happen. And so because of those kinds of things, you're really disappointed with God. And by the way, let me just tell you parenthetically, everybody gets disappointed with God from time to time. That's not unusual. Everybody goes through disappointment. If you're disappointed in God right now, you're certainly not alone. There's a great book, if you're going through disappointment with God, that I encourage you to read. It's by Philip Yancey. It's called Disappointment with God. It's a great, great book. I think it'll help you if you're dealing with disappointment with God right now. But one of the things you need to know about spiritual gifts is that when you try to move in the power of God, you try to move in spiritual gifts, one of the things that means is that you're going to have to deal with failure all the time. See, you will never successfully move forward in the power of God unless you learn how to deal with failure. You know, we've talked about the kingdom of God being like a picket fence. You know, is the picket fence all wood? No. Is it all space? No, it's both wood and space. It's here, it's fence, and it's not fence. And that's the way the kingdom of God is. It's already here, and it's not yet here. And we always have to live in that tension. And the other thing we need to remind ourselves about spiritual gifts is that when we seek to move in spiritual gifts, it's not about us. It's not about our abilities or lack of abilities. It's always about God. And sometimes the kingdom of God breaks in and we receive a spiritual gift of healing or whatever we're asking for, and God breaks in. And sometimes he doesn't, and we have to live in that tension. And so whenever you're trying to move in a spiritual gift and it feels like you failed, you haven't failed. There's this tension. And so what do you need to do? You just need to pick yourself back up. And you have to say, man, I'm going to try it again. I'm going to pray for another sick person, even though this sick person didn't get any better. I'm going to try to deliver another prophecy at my small group, even though the last one seemed to fall flat. I'm going to try to speak in tongues in my own private devotion, even though it feels like, you know, it was really awkward and I didn't really know what I was doing. So that's one reason we don't seek spiritual gifts, is because of disappointment. Second reason we don't seek spiritual gifts sometimes is just plain old personal discomfort. See, for some of you, it's not that you don't see spiritual gifts as being biblical. It's not that you see spiritual gifts as not being from God. It's just that you feel uncomfortable around the operation of at least certain spiritual gifts. You know, usually more of the revelatory gifts. You feel uncomfortable about that. Because when spiritual gifts like that are in operation, oftentimes it feels like you're out of control. And for some of you, that's really hard, because maybe for you, your life history is such that you experienced a great lack of control growing up. You know, maybe you were controlled by someone who was abusive to you. Or maybe your home life was so chaotic that control is a really big deal. You know, it may be that Jesus is engaging you in a process of trust so that you can begin to release the need for control that you have. Because the truth is, God wants us to trust Him in everything, including spiritual gifts. And the issue of control is really just an issue of trust. So I want you to know, Jesus can advance you from wherever you are in your discomfort about spiritual gifts. In fact, I believe that Jesus is saying to some of you right now, He's saying, hey, you can trust me a little bit more in this area. You can risk a little bit more in this area of spiritual gifts. When I'm speaking something to you, maybe prophetically, that I want you to say in your small group and you're afraid to do it because of lack of control, you can trust me a little bit more. You can risk a little bit more when you feel like maybe I'm giving you something to share with that person in the grocery store. You can step out. You can risk. I know it's uncomfortable. But God wants us to be risk takers. And if you're feeling discomfort about certain spiritual gifts because of this whole control thing, I would strongly encourage you to have some people pray for you and ask God to break the power of that. Let me give you a third reason we don't seek spiritual gifts sometimes. It's because we've had distorted teaching about spiritual gifts sometime in our past. And you know, this distorted teaching can come from either end of the spectrum. You know, maybe for you, you grew up in the extreme sort of Pentecostal side of this issue. You know, maybe you were told growing up or in some church that you were in that if you didn't speak in tongues, then you didn't have the Holy Spirit. You haven't received the Holy Spirit yet if you didn't speak in tongues. Or if you didn't speak in tongues, you weren't a spiritual person. Or if you didn't speak in tongues, you weren't even a Christian. Or maybe you grew up and you saw a whole lot of really weird, flaky prophesying going on. Or maybe there was a severe overemphasis on experience and all kinds of emotion. And so you eventually reacted very strongly to that and you said, you know what, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Or maybe the distortion in your case came from the other end, the conservative end of the spectrum. You know, maybe your pastor or one of your parents or a leader in the church told you that if you got involved in certain spiritual gifts, it was going to open you up to demons. If you spoke in tongues, and that's demonic. You're going to open yourself up to all kinds of demonic stuff if you do that. And so because of that, you've drawn back, at least from certain spiritual gifts. You know, I want you to know the proper response to the misuse of spiritual gifts is not the non-use of spiritual gifts. No, the proper response to the misuse of spiritual gifts is the proper use of spiritual gifts. And the proper response to, well, you know, certain spiritual gifts are from the devil, is not to renounce spiritual gifts. No, the proper response to that is to study what the Bible actually teaches about spiritual gifts and ask God to begin to show you what the truth about spiritual gifts really is. See, the fact is, there is a time sometimes when we have to renounce faulty teaching. Sometimes we have to renounce faulty teaching that we've had sometime in our past because it's affecting us today. We have to renounce it in the name of Jesus, ask God to break its power over you, and then ask God to begin to teach you the truth about that specific topic. And I think there may be some of you today that need to do that right now. You need to renounce faulty teaching, maybe from either end of the spectrum, that you've had about spiritual gifts, and then keep coming in this series because we're going to teach you, hopefully, the truth of what the Bible teaches about spiritual gifts. Would you pray with me? If you've had faulty teaching, maybe on the more Pentecostal, maybe emotional side of it, or either on the conservative side, and you were told that certain spiritual gifts were off limits, they stopped, they're of the devil. And you're realizing that those extremes really aren't the truth. Then right now, in your own heart, before God, just say, God, I renounce this faulty teaching that I've had sometime in the past. And God, would you bring healing into my heart about those things that I've learned that aren't from you? And God, would you break the power of those things so that they don't affect my thinking going forward? And God, would you open up my spiritual eyes to what the truth really is about spiritual gifts? God, I want to know the truth. You know, maybe there's a certain spiritual gift that you've sort of secretly been wanting God to impart to you, but you've never really asked Him for it. Maybe you didn't know you could. Maybe it's a greater gift of the spiritual gift of leadership. Maybe it's a spiritual gift of discerning of spirits. Maybe it's a spiritual gift of prophecy or words of knowledge or tongues or interpretation of tongues. Maybe it's a spiritual gift or a greater measure of the spiritual gift of teaching. You know, there are certain spiritual gifts that I ask God to increase in my life almost every day. I would encourage you to start praying for them. Maybe you're disappointed with God right now. That's okay. He knows. Just tell Him. Just be honest. God, I'm really disappointed. I feel like You didn't come through for me. Whatever it is. God just wants us to be honest with Him. He's big enough to take it. And He'll walk with you through the disappointment. You know, Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, to the disappointed, to those that feel like they're in failure or God failed them or whatever. He'll walk with you. Maybe control has been a big issue in your life, and you feel really uncomfortable when things seem to be out of control, like when certain gifts are in operation. Maybe right now just ask God, God, would you come and heal those things in my heart that I need healed so that I'm not such a control freak? I want to learn to trust You more. I want to learn to experience all the spiritual gifts that you want me to experience. If we can pray for you before you leave this morning, we'd love to do that. It may not have anything to do with the message, or it may be all about the message. But if we can pray for you, we'll have a ministry team up here at the front in a moment. And when I dismiss the service, just please come to the front, find one of these people, let them know what's going on. They'd love to lay their hands on you and pray that God would do whatever you're wanting him to do. If you're a guest here, maybe you've been coming for a while, but you've never made it to a guest welcome, maybe this is your first time. In the information center on the way out in the lobby, please stop by. We'd love to give you some information about our church. And then remember, we're going to be doing this series over the next several weeks. You're going to learn a lot about spiritual gifts, so really prioritize being here, okay? Everybody stand if you're able. I want to pray a blessing over all of us. Lord, thank you for your presence here. God, I pray for all my friends as they go now. Would you really bless each one? Bless them, keep them. Cause your face to shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, Lord, and give them peace now. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Say hi to some people on your way out. We'll see you soon.